We're continuing our walk through Matthew, so turn to John 21. We're looking now at a conversation that Jesus had with Peter. It says in verse 15 that they had a meal, and when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, he is addressing Peter primarily. The other disciples are listening. They are privy to the conversation. But in these verses, we're going to find out some very important things about the walk with the Lord and service for the Lord, the forgiveness that God provides. Jesus had already revealed himself one time to Peter, Luke 24, verse 31, and also 1 Corinthians 15, 5 tells us about that. And we have no idea at all what he said. We don't know what the conversation was, but we sure do know on this occasion what Jesus said to Peter and what Peter said back. I do know this. The Lord knew about Peter's failure. Peter had failed the Lord miserably, and he had repented and he had been forgiven. That sin was behind him. But these words in this conversation brings up those things, or at least makes Peter think about that experience where he denied the Lord three times. And what Jesus is doing for the most part is trying to confirm to Peter, I still have something for you to do. Your failure is not final. You have not messed up to a significant place to where you cannot be used. One thing for sure, he's about to launch these disciples out to do his mission. He's about to go back to heaven. So he's going to leave these disciples behind to continue the mission he had begun. And if they were to go, they had to go in the authority of Christ. And they just couldn't just go on their own. They could not run without a message like we read about in the Old Testament. So Jesus is confirming to Peter in this conversation that I am giving you the authority and I am granting you the privilege to go in my name. I am granting my approval and putting my stamp of approval on you. I am endorsing you. The ministry of Peter was not over. In fact, the greatest days of his ministry were about to begin. What a blessing that is. He asked Peter three questions here, and then he gives him three commissions or three instructions, and that coincides with his three denials. There was no doubt about that. Peter recognized that, the disciples did, and we do. So there's a commission going on here, a confirmation going on. And Jesus asked about Peter's love. He did not ask him about his dedication. He did not ask him about his knowledge. Do you know enough, Peter? He did not ask him about his sincerity. Do you really mean business, Peter? He did not even ask Peter about his faith. But he asked him about his love. That tells us the importance of love for the Lord and really for others also if we're to do his will. The emotion of love or the process of love is the most powerful emotion on earth. And it's also the greatest motivator. Jesus said the one that really loves will lay down their life for the one they love. And that's true. He also said, Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. He said, this thing of loving God is important. The first requirement of a servant is not, again, to be dedicated, determined, faithful, even not faithful, but it is to love God. He started his process with Peter by saying, follow me, indicating if you follow me, you will have to leave some things. Following Christ indicates some sacrifice on that person that follows him. But the person that loves Jesus, that they leave behind, will not be a sacrifice. for they love him enough to where they're willing to give up their plans, their goals, their desires, their intent of life because they love him more. They're willing to give their all. And my point is, love makes a difference. It makes a difference. Jesus is about to turn over the responsibility of the ministry to these flawed and fearful and failing men. And if he was about to do that, they sure needed help from God. And that's for sure. And their determination wasn't going to be enough. They needed to love the Lord and love people. Well, let's look in verse 15. Jesus is speaking to Peter. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, now use Simon's old name. That does not suggest at all that Peter was lost, but it just says that he's acting like he wasn't the Lord's when he was denying him. And Jesus is not pulling any strings. He's not making it easy on Peter. Even though he's going to do some good things, he's also suggesting, Peter, you messed up and you need to realize you can mess up again and be careful not to. He says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said, what did he say? Peter, do you love me? My, what a question. But he doesn't stop there. He said, lovest thou me more than these? Well, what in the world did he mean by more than these? I understand the part, lovest thou me. Do you love me, Peter? But he said, more than these. There's probably three veins of thought or schools of thought about what he meant by more than these. One is that he said to Peter, do you love me more than the disciples love me? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than they love me? And that's a possibility because Peter had very obviously thought that he did. He said, others may deny you, but not me. Others may forsake you, but I won't. Peter had thought he loved Jesus more than the others did. So that may be what Jesus is saying here. But there's also another school of thought. The second thing, that he loved Jesus more than he loved the disciples. He's saying, do you love me more than you love them? And Peter did love them. And there's nothing wrong with it. In fact, there's a lot right with loving each other. There's a whole lot wrong with not loving each other. And these disciples had been together for over 3 years. They had gotten close, and Peter did love them. And it wouldn't be wrong to love them, but it would be wrong to love them more than he loved Jesus. And Jesus may have been saying, do you love me more than you love them? Do you love me more than these? And the third thought or school of thought is that he loved, do you love me more than you love these, those boats and those nets that you've been using all night? Remember they fished all night and caught nothing, and Peter had been a professional fisherman, and he no doubt loved it, and that was his life, and that's how he made his money and his living, and he had poured his life into that life of fishing. And Jesus was saying, could have been saying, do you love me more than you love those boats? Do you love me more than that old profession? And that's a possibility. But I personally believe that he was saying, do you love me more than those disciples love me? And the reason I believe that that's what he's saying is because it seemed to be that was one of Peter's primary problems. I said again, he's already said, he said before, they may forsake you, but I love you too much. I love you so much, I will die with you. I'll fight for you. Now, they may not love you that much, but I do. And I do believe that Jesus is saying to Peter, lovest thou me more than the disciples love me? Do you really think that now, Peter? Now that you've fallen, now that you've denied me, now that you've shown, listen, now that you've shown that you didn't love me as much as you thought you did, for you denied me and ran when I needed you the most. Peter, do you think now that you love me more than others? You see, Jesus is dealing with Peter in a very personal way. He is dealing with Peter, and he's dealing with Peter's issues. And the issue that seems so obvious to me is that Peter had thought, I love you more than almost anybody I know. Now, when Jesus said, lovest thou me, he used the Greek word, at least it translated agapeo. It has this, the Greek word that means agape, which means a godly love, a supreme love, an all-encompassing love. He is saying to Peter, listen, do you love me like God loves you? My, what a question. Well, that's what he's asking. Peter thought that he did, but now, Jesus didn't have to ask the question because he didn't know the answer. You understand that? He asked the question because Peter needed to answer the question. Peter said, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. I better find me another gear if I'm going to get through this. Y'all not listening quick enough. Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And that sounds pretty good. Except for one thing, the word that Peter used for love was not the same word that Jesus used for love. Jesus said, do you love me with all your heart? Do you love me supremely? Do you love me like God loves you? And Peter said, listen, Jesus, you know I'm your friend. You know I love you with a brotherly love. It's the Greek word phileo. It means brotherly love. It means friendship, a good friend. Jesus said, do you love me like God loves you? Do you love me supremely? And Peter said, you know I'm a good friend to you. You're my best friend, said Peter. So Peter, listen to me. Peter knows himself now enough to know when Jesus said, do you love me supremely? Peter says, I just can't say that now. I used to think I did, but after I've done what I've done, I can say, Jesus, oh, you are my best friend, and I think more of you than I do other people, but that's about the best I can say about myself. He said, thou knowest I love thee. Thou knowest. Hey, thou knowest. I'm glad that's true. I believe it helped Peter. He said, Jesus, you know my heart. And you know I really do love you. But you also know that in my failure, I've made such a mess. And my failure shows me I did not love you and I do not love you like I ought to and like I wish I did and like I used to think I did. Thou knowest. Boy, it'll do you good to realize God does know your heart. Sometimes that's bad. But sometimes it's good because when we don't do what we should and when we do fail, if we can say, Lord, I am sorry. You know I want to do right. You know I do love you and I do want to please you and I don't want to do these things. Like Paul said, that I would, that I do not. And the Lord knows our heart and he knows our desire. And Peter says, thou knowest. And I'm glad he does. If you looked at Peter's actions, you would think, that man doesn't even care anything about Jesus. Denying, cursing, swearing, he never even met him. But he did love him. He failed like so many times we do. He failed him miserably, and he is finding out, I don't love you near as much as I thought I did. And Jesus said, he saith unto him, feed my lambs. Now, Jesus first said, do you love me more than these? Piercing Peter's heart. reminding Peter of the failure, the denial. But then he said, feed my lambs, which means even though you have failed me and even though you don't love me like you ought to, I still have a commission for you. I still have a task. I want you to feed my lambs. He's sending him out. Feed my lambs, the word feed means to provide for the food that's needed. It literally means to feed. That's simple enough, isn't it? But he said, feed my lambs. That word lambs mean baby or young sheep. And he's saying here, Peter, I've got a mission for you. You're going to go out and teach and preach my word. And in the process, if you're going out of doing what I'm telling you to do and commissioning you to do and giving you the authority to do, you're going to run into some young believers or some immature believers, and they're like those little lambs. And they need to be fed. And you need to be able to put it down to the lower level where they can take it and get it and be helped. Jesus said first to Peter, go and feed my lambs, those little young ones, those little immature ones, those young converts or those immature believers. He said, go and tell them. And that's the responsibility of pastors and preachers nowadays, by the way. It's the duty of the pastor to study and deliver the word. Well, later on in Acts, Peter said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. He said the most important thing for us preachers right now is to get in the book, get the book in us, and preach it with power. And that's still the primary purpose of preachers and pastors. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And even when Peter admitted by his words, you're a good friend, I love you like a close relative, I love you like a brother, he was admitting that his love was not what it ought to be. Jesus still had a mission for him. And I'm glad. That was assuring to Peter. That was confirming to Peter that I don't have to be perfect for the Lord to use me. Now, that's not saying we can live any way we want to and God's going to use us. Oh, no. We'll find out. That won't work. But we're never going to be perfect. We're never going to be not flawed or not messed up. And Jesus said to Peter, the flawed man, I'm going to use you. And I believe the key is, and it's true of Peter, I believe, he's wanting to grow. Paul talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that you increase more and more. And he's talking about love there, that you learn to love more and more. Our love for Jesus is a requirement for us serving him. Jesus' second question, verse 16, he's not finished yet. He saith to him, again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Can you notice the difference? What's different between the first question and the second question? He left off more than these. Lovest thou me? Here's what Jesus is doing. He started out at the top. And the next question is a little bit lower requirements, a little bit lower requests. And we're going to find out by the time he gets to the third question, he even goes down a little bit more. So the second question is, lovest thou me? Not do you love me more than these, but here's what he's saying. Do you even really love me? Again, he used the word agape. He's talking about that godly love, that spiritual love, that all-consuming love, the love that God has for us and we're supposed to have for him. And he's saying, Peter, do you really love me? Now, Peter had already learned, I didn't love Jesus as much as the other disciples like I thought. Jesus has gotten that across. Now he's wanting to say to Peter, do you really even love me? I know and you know you didn't love me as much as them or more than them, but do you even really love me? I'm telling you, Jesus is not pulling any punches. Even though it's a blessing, it's also a burden. He's forcing Peter to examine himself and ask himself honestly, do I love Jesus at all? Peter said, he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said the same thing the second time that he said the first time. He said, Jesus, I am really fond of you. You are a best friend. You are like a brother to me. I am very close to you. See, Peter is learning to be honest with himself. He cannot just blurt out, oh, yeah, I love you more than anything, more than anybody. He would have earlier, but he's learned, I don't love him that much. Jesus, again, he saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, he here is using some different words. Feed here is not just feeding, let them graze, give them food. It has the idea, an all-consuming word that means you do like a shepherd does, which means you feed and you guide and you direct and you protect and you discipline if you need to. You are like a shepherd. And he says here, not the word lamb like he did before, but he says sheep here. It means adult sheep. He is saying, tend the flock. So the first thing he said, now there's some little lambs that need to be fed. I want you to feed them. But then there are some sheep. They need to be fed too, but they need some guiding and direction and probably some discipline and some rebuke and protection and provision. And you're like the shepherd that's to take care of them. He is again commissioning Peter, go out and help people. And what a blessing that is to a man that's failed the Lord as much as Peter did. It literally means to tend the flock. He said, if you love me, I want you to show your love for me by loving others. Our love for the Lord is revealed many times in how much we love others. And this commission is not just for Peter. In fact, later on, Peter himself would write in 1 Peter chapter 5 to the elders, and he would instruct those elders how to conduct themselves in the church. And he would say more or less what Jesus said, you be a shepherd to those sheep. So Peter and all the disciples received the same instruction. Notice what he said, feed my sheep. Some say that Peter's receiving some special commission here only for him. Catholics say that, but they're wrong. It's still the Lord's sheep. It's still the Lord's kingdom. To this weak and helpless and ignorant man, Jesus said, I got something for what I want you to do, and I'm sending you out to help weak and sick and helpless and ignorant sheep. And I want you to realize that they need you. I want you to take care of them. Jesus' third question, verse 17, he saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? See, Jesus asked three times, Peter denied three times. And this is the third time. The first time, two times, Jesus used the word agapeo, that godly love, that supreme love, that all-inclusive, all-encompassing love. But this time, Jesus used the same word for love that Peter had, phileo, brotherly. He's saying, do you love me like God loves me? Do you love me like God loves me? Then he said, do you even love me like a brother? He's stabbing Peter, but Peter needed it. He says, are you even my friend? Peter's actions would make us wonder if he was even a friend of Jesus. Notice what it says. Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. It grieved Peter because he asked him three times, because he knows. One, two, three. Question, question, question. Denial, denial, denial. Failure, failure, failure. He knows what's going on. Peter's not in the dark about this. And it grieved him that he asked him, but Jesus is making him, forcing him to look inside and take a good look at Peter. And Peter, just like you and me, when he saw Peter, didn't like what he saw. but he needed it. He had a job to do. He was getting ready to be sent out. And in his sending out, he needed to know who he was. And that's what Jesus is doing. It's really an act of mercy. Because again, he's assigning Peter and these other disciples to doing his will. He is assuring Peter when he says, "Feed my sheep," that he's forgiven. And now he's been restored, if you will, to the ministry. He was not disqualified. Look at verse 18. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God. He said to Peter, "You were younger, and you dressed yourself and put on your own shoes and went wherever you wanted to go." But he said, there's going to be a time when you get older and somebody else is going to bind you, going to make you go somewhere you don't want to go. And it says what Jesus is talking about. It talks about the death, that he would glorify God. So Jesus saying to Peter, "I'm sending you out on a commission. But that commission is something that's serious. And that mission I'm sending you on will lead you to your death." That's called sacrifice. And the one thing that was important for Peter was, do you love Jesus enough to go and do it when you know you're going to die if you do it? And he did. So, and Peter did get bound, and he was carried to prison, and he was killed by Nero, and tradition tells us that when he found out that Nero was going to crucify him to put him to death, that he requested that he be crucified upside down, because he said, "I'm not worthy to die like my Lord." So Peter finished well. And the good thing about it is we can look at this and say, "Oh my goodness, Jesus is telling Peter he's going to die." But Peter, I believe with all my heart, said, "Oh, I don't want to die, but I am glad you're telling me next time I'm tried, I won't fail the test. Next time I have to take a stand, I'm going to be true." I believe it thrilled Peter when he heard about what was ahead, even though he did not want to face it. Then notice, "And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Follow me even though you're going to die." What a admonition. In spite of what it's going to cost, Peter did follow him. He had asked Peter, "Do you really love me? If you really love me, you'll follow me. But if you follow me, it's going to cost." Then notice in verse 20 and 21, "Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following," which is, of course, John, "which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, "Lord, what shall this man do?" Now, I'm trying my best to give Peter a break here, but I don't know hardly how I can. After all he said with Jesus and all that Jesus has done with the three questions and three commissions, the next thing Peter does is look at John and say, "Well, Jesus, what about him? What is he going to do?" I think, my goodness, Peter, do you ever know when to shut your mouth? But I'm trying to think, and I don't think that it's right, but I'll throw it out at you. Maybe Peter is saying, "I really am concerned about my good brother John. What about him?" I don't think that's what he's doing, I'll be honest. I believe he's just Peter. He is still Peter. You do know you're still you, right? Don't know how long you've been saved, but you're still you, and you's in there, I promise you, and you can jump out anytime. And it did with Peter, even after he's confronted like Jesus has just done him. In verse 22, I want to say, "Amen, Jesus, get him," when I read this verse. "Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is thou to thee? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. I want to say, amen, Jesus. Go, go, go. He said to Peter, if he stays alive and does nothing till I come back, that ain't none of your business, Peter. You follow me. And that's exactly what he meant. I believe we could emphasize the word thou in those words and not do damage to Scripture. In fact, I think there is an emphasis. He says, Peter, if I want John to sit down and do nothing till I come back, that's fine. Follow thou me. You follow me. If John does nothing, if John disappears, don't worry about them. Peter, you follow me. You see, we're to be concerned about our own ministry, our own life, our own walk with the Lord. It is a personal thing, and we're not to be concerned or worried about what others do. Now, that does not mean we're not to be concerned about others. I mean, listen, Jesus has already said to Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, watch after people, be concerned about them. But he is not saying you're supposed to be so concerned about them that they let you affect your walk with me. You let them walk and you walk. Be concerned about your walk. And there's a personal thing. 1 Corinthians 3:10, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For Colossians 4:17, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and of the doctrine, continue in them. 2 John 8, look to yourselves. So we're to look to ourselves, deal with ourselves. It's a personal level. Look at verse 23. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciples should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? There's a rumor, of course. Always God's word gets messed up. And there's a rumor that says, hey, Jesus said John's not going to die. Well, he didn't say that at all. 25. And there was also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. I'll probably come back to that later. Could I, real quickly, and I mean it, give you some points to ponder. Some of these verses are just too good to just go through and not give you something else to kind of chew on. What can we learn from these verses? First, our love for Christ is a key to our service for Him. Jesus did not say, are you dedicated? Do you have faith? Do you mean business? Are you sincere? He said, do you love me? The main requirement for serving God is our love for Him. And I think of all the other things that are important, like faith, but he said the greatest of these is charity, remember? And the greatest key to our service to the Lord is our love for Him. Because if we love Him, we will be dedicated. If we love Him, we will believe Him. If we love Him, we will avoid sin. If we love Him, we will give our all. What would Jesus say to you? He said to Peter, do you love me more than these? What? Do you love me more than homes or money or people? Or do you love me more than blank? What would he put in there? The next thing points to ponder. Failure requires public acknowledgement. Public failure requires public acknowledgement. Jesus didn't let Peter get by easily. He asked these questions to Peter while the other disciples were watching. Why? Because the other disciples knew of Peter's failure. And they needed to know Peter really is forgiven and Peter really is commissioned to do what he's about to do. They needed to know that almost as much as Peter did. The disciples were present when he knew about Peter's denial, and they were present when they found out about his love and his commitment. The next thing, our love for Christ should be ever growing. I believe Peter really was growing in his love to the Lord, and he wanted to grow more, and our love for him ought to be growing. We ought to love him more instead of less. Hopefully our love is growing. Peter had learned he didn't love him as much as he thought he did, but he sure wanted to learn. He quit bragging about his love. There's no doubt about that, but he wanted to be true. He wanted it to be true of him that he loved Jesus. The next thing, God does not forget sin. I know the songwriters tell us that we're in the sea of God's forgetfulness, and what sin are you talking about? And the only thing is, that ain't biblical. God is not absent-minded. Jesus is talking to Peter about sin that had been forgiven, but it had not been forgotten. Now, the Bible does say, and God say it does say in Hebrews 8:12, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. But it did not say I cannot remember. He said I will not remember them. It means to bring it up. God doesn't forget. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. But he does say, when you sin and I forgive you, I will never mention it again. I will never bring it to mind again. And I mean, listen, he's talking to Peter about sin that was forgiven. So he surely hadn't forgotten it. But I preached a message one time about forgiven is better than forgotten. And the point was this. If I do you wrong, or you do me wrong, let's do it this way. And you come and say, I'm sorry I did that. And I say, what are you talking about? I don't even know. I don't remember what you're talking about. Well, that'd be good. But it's a whole lot better if you come to me and you say, I'm sorry I did you wrong. And I say, I know, but I want to just tell you, it's in the past. I'll never bring it up again. It's forgiven. And God does not say, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember, because he does remember. He's not absent-minded. But he does forgive, and it's in the past forever. And I wondered, I'm about done, getting closer. Jesus had fixed breakfast, and the Bible's very clear. There was a fire of coals after their fishing expedition. Between their fishing expedition and Peter's questioning, there was a fire of coals. There's only one other place in the New Testament those words are found. Fire of coals. You know where it's at? Where Peter denied Jesus. He was warming by the enemy's fire. I believe with all my heart, when Peter looked at that fire of coals, he thought back to where he'd failed. And Jesus meant for him to, because he needed to know he was forgiven. The next thing points to ponder, God's forgiveness is complete. One failure, two failures, three failures, one denial, two denials, three denials. Three times Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. He had failed for sure, but he had been forgiven completely. His failure had been forgiven. God may not forget it, but he does forgive it, and it's gone forever. And when we're forgiven, we need to accept that forgiveness. The devil will remind you and make you miserable, but don't let him. Once he forgives, it's gone. The next thing, failure is not final. He was restored to a position, and God used him greater than ever. His failure was not final. Then the last thing, we are accountable for our own walk. Jesus said to Peter, if I tell John to sit down and do nothing, don't you worry about it. You follow me. We are accountable for our own walk. We're not to worry about others. Concern, sure. Burden, sure. Pray for them, sure. Help them, sure. That's what Jesus said to Peter to do for these lambs and sheep. But we're not to let anybody, even that person that's closest to us, hinder us to such a degree that we don't walk with the Lord as we should, because we are accountable for our own walk. Let's stop there. Thank the Lord for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the God of the Word. Let's stand together.